Jesus, he is my friend, he's out in the Well, here we are. Brother Bud lost the engine on his plane. I've got it on. It's not on. Is it on now? Okay. And Brother Billy Brown was with him. And they was about 10,000 feet over an airport. So Brother Bud just started circling and coming down. And of course, when you've got to judge, if you don't have any power, you got to judge it just right to let the plane down. Anyway, he went out, when he turned in to come in on the runway, he saw that he was too far out and he wasn't going to make it. So he looked over at Brother Brown and he said, "Brother Brown, we're not going to make the runway." Brother Brown said, "We're not?" And he said, "No." Brother Brown said he bowed his head and he said, "Well, Lord, here we are." Just in case you don't know, Lord, here we are. Of course, he saw a little field off to his left, and he pulled off that way and landed in the field. Before the plane came to stop, there was nothing left in the field but trees. So he just headed it between two trees, and it caught the wings and stopped them, tore the plane up, but it didn't hurt either one of them. They didn't get any injuries. So every once in a while I tell the Lord, "Well, Lord, here we are." If I need you, it's good to know the Lord, isn't it, when you get in a situation like that. But I'm so thankful for my connection in God. It was a weak connection in the beginning. I just have to tell you that. I'm so thankful that I came to know the Lord, but I didn't have I just had so much in my life that came with the environment that I came out of. And even though I came out of a home that, my mother was a Christian Pentecostal woman, very faithful to church. But just sometimes, it's just not good enough to be just connected to God. Somehow you have to finally get to a place where you're rooted in Him. Not just connected, but you finally have taken roots. That parable of the sower Jesus gave, I think it's a very important parable. In fact, if you'll look at it just for a second, I don't know where I'm going, but it just now came to my mind. But I want to show you one of the things that Jesus said about the parable, when he explained it to his disciples. In the 13th verse of Mark 4. Did I even say Mark 4 yet? Mark, the 4th chapter, in the 13th verse. Let's back up to the 10th verse, if you don't mind. It says, "And when they were alone, he gave the parable. Then in the 10th verse, it said, when he was alone, they were about him with the 12. They that were about him with the 12 ask of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So he said, I purposely put this in a and framed it in words that not everybody would get. But you are to get it. You are chosen of God, and you are to get this. That seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Now, one of the reasons he's saying this was he was talking to a group of people. Some of them were Gentiles. And they weren't to, they weren't all to perceive and receive the things of God. It wasn't for everyone right at that time. And also, I've told people this before, you know, I said it's better for an ungodly person if they didn't have, if they didn't hear the word of God, if they're not going to respond to it. Because I said, God will require something of you. And so, and then in the 13th verse, he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? He basically said, if you don't know this parable, you'll never understand any parable. And the reason for that is because this parable explains how God gets in your life and gets you connected. We all have these different types of ground. Our life is like these different types of ground. He started off showing the stony ground, said the seed that falls on stony ground, it's just wayside soil. It doesn't take any root. It's just laying there. It might, if it rains, there might be a little bit of roots spring out of the seed, but it can't get into the earth because it's too hard. And I know there was part of that in me when I was young. I hope I don't have any wayside soil in me now. But that, I hope there's not parts of me so hard that the Word of God can't take root in me. You can be hardened over. To where, and I know I had this problem when I was a young man, because I could do things that I knew that I wasn't supposed to do, but I didn't have enough of the Word of God in me to combat the temptation and the lust of my flesh. And I didn't, you know, and then it said the bird, the fowls of the air come and pluck it up. There's all kinds of birds in the air. You know, I mean, there's some birds that are religious birds, you know, and if you really don't understand the Word of God, they'll confuse your mind and they'll pluck up the Word of God that has been sown in you, you know, to you. But there's also fowls out here in the world that when you're trying to get connected to God, that they will help you give up the Word of God that's, you know, they'll cause you to give up the Word of God that you've had sown in your life if you're hard-hearted enough that it can't take any root. And then, of course, there's that stony ground. Jesus said when you have stony ground, you receive the Word of God with gladness, readiness. But then when he said in this particular passage in the 17th verse, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, they're offended. You can, you know, you can get mad at God if things ain't going your way. you can get offended at the Lord for or even your walk with God. You can try it. That's why most time baby Christians can't take very much pressure. You put them under pressure, they'll fold. They'll cave under pressure. I used to have years ago when I first moved to Missouri, I moved there because there was trouble in Texas. Brother Patton, Brother Don Patton, I was working under him, and he was leaving the body, and I knew he was leaving, and I knew I wasn't leaving. And he found out. I mean, he tried to put enough pressure on me to get me to leave with him. But he saw I wasn't going, and when he saw that, he began to split my church and cause a lot of trouble. And God helped me. God let me know to move. God gave me a lot of dreams and visions and people in the church. I bet there was no less than 100 dreams during that time. And God let us know where to go and helped us to get out alive. But when I got up there in Missouri, I didn't know anybody, and I was hurt and I was frustrated. And that's when I took up coon hunting. I don't know if y'all knew I was a coon hunter at one time, but I was. But I don't know if I'd ever really took it up. But I had my son, this was 20 some odd years ago, and he was right in the midst of all that, and he was just a young man, married. And I knew I needed to do something to keep in a relationship with him that I could help him stay in the body. So I took up coon hunting and got him involved in it. We went coon hunting quite a bit. And I learned a lot out of it. I used to be scared of the dark. Most grown men won't tell you, and I wouldn't have told you that before I got unscared of the dark. I wouldn't have told you then. But now I'll tell you, I was scared of the dark. I don't know why. I knew about the boogeyman and all that, but I still, there's something about the dark, you know, that scared me. But coon hunting got that out of me. You get out in the woods with a dog and crawl over fences, and my dogs can't read good, and they went into they passed over no trespassing signs, and they treed coons underneath, you know, right underneath the shade tree in people's houses and stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you couldn't turn your light on, you know. I've had my dogs chase coons in people's barns and in there just raising cane. Cows are mooing, the horses braying, you know, and pigs are oinking and everything else going on, and my dog's in that barn, and I, you know, I can see lights coming on in the house. And me and Michael, one time, you remember when we was out in Bodark one time, down behind this guy's shed, and our dogs was run this coon in the barn. We was trying to get in there and get him out of the barn. I don't remember what I did. I probably said, Michael, you get in there and get him out, and I'll watch the light. He could run faster than I could. I used to get mad at him because he'd walk too fast to get to the tree to see the dogs treed the coon, you know, and he'd get there before me. I used to get mad at him, make him slow down. One time we treed a coon about 4 or 5 miles from our house, place that we always went. And when we was coming back with our dogs to the truck, we realized that we had lost the keys to the truck. And so, I don't know what time it was, maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, it's about daylight by the time we walked all the way home. I remember him telling me, "Dad, I can't go no further." I said, "Yeah, you can." He said, "How?" I said, "Just keep putting one foot in front of the other one." I didn't learn that coon hunting. I learned that in the Army. But they taught me you can do more than you think you can do. And yeah, well, anyway, I learned a lot, really, coon hunting, and it helped me. I got, you know, I had a lot more confidence in myself, because if you ever got out in a dark woods and turned around about 3 times and you don't know which way is north, east, south, or west, or which direction it is to the truck, then you're in trouble. And you have to learn, you know. But I learned the night out there. I learned. And that helped me apply some of that to God. Because I learned not to be so afraid of things that I can't see. You know, but I learned there's ways of locating yourself and finding direction in darkness. Even in the kingdom of heaven. There may be some things I don't know about God, but I know the best thing to do is don't panic. Don't panic. When you're in a bad situation, don't do nothing. You're better off not to do anything. Sometimes it's better off just to sit down with your dog and just look around. Look at the stars. Listen. You might see lights. You can see lights of a city a long ways off. You can hear trucks going up down highways a long ways off. There's a lot of things you can pick up, but if you're excited and walking in different directions, you don't know where you're going. And I used to have a friend that used to coon hunt. He used to like to carry a compass with him that didn't work. It's wrong. And he'd take guys hunting with him. Of course, he knew the land, you know, every bit of it. So he'd get out there and act like he was lost, and he'd pull his compass out and he'd say, "Which way? Didn't I tell you the truck was south?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, that's way south." And the guy said, "We got to go south. That's where the truck is." He said, "No, I don't think that's right." And he'd get them worrying. You know, they'd get all upset. Sometimes they'd leave him and say, "I don't care what you do. I'm going this way." He'd finally, you know, but he'd follow him. Wouldn't let him know he's anyway. He was a jokester. But anyway, I know how important it is to know God and to learn some things about God and how to get connected in Him. You know, you can get offended when you're trying to serve God and things don't go right. Things aren't going your way. And I'm not exempt from that altogether, but I have learned some things about serving Him, being patient with God. Brother Emilio Green was talking to me the other day. He had found a house, real nice home, that a lady from America had built over there. It's probably $150,000 house over here. A really nice home over there. And she was going to be gone for a couple of years, and so she was going to rent it to him. Really cheap price, just like $300 and something a month. Of course, that's hard for them to pay something like that. And I had told him, I said, if she will rent that to you, he showed it to me when I was over. I said, if she'll rent it like that, you rent it. I'll rent it. And I'll live in, that's where I'll stay. You and your wife can stay there and take care of it, but I'll rent it. And I'll quit paying motel bills when I come over here. Well, anyway, had it all ready to rent. And I called him the other day. I said, what about the house? He said, you know, Brother Smith, he said, somebody talked to her. She talked to somebody or something. He said, I think she's going to back out. He said, she's talking like she's not going to do that. I said, what did she, he, I said, did you say anything to her? And he said, no, I learned that from you. He said, I learned that if things aren't working out, it may be God. Just be still and wait on the Lord and see what the Lord does. I said, all right. I said, well, let's don't do nothing then. Let's wait and see. Yeah, if God's in it, and if God's not in it, we don't want in it, with it, without Him. So, but anyway, persecution. Boy, the church back there suffered some great persecution. And I'm sure it affected people's lives, but also affliction. That doesn't just mean sickness, but it means problems. Problems can come your way. And you can feel like, well, I'm gonna this is too tough. I'm not going to keep serving God. It's like you're serving God for a reward, but you don't realize you're gaining a reward in the whole walk. Everything you go through that the Lord allows you to go through, it'll benefit your life. It'll strengthen. You've got to have some strength in you. You've got to endure some hard things. You've got to learn how to do things God's way. And sometimes that's difficult. When you start out serving God, it's so difficult sometimes to incorporate the way God does things in your life with the way you've been doing things that you run to a place where there's a divide. You say, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I don't see any other way of doing this. And you wrestle. There's a struggle that goes on in your life. It's the same way with what Peter was saying, that you have to add, to your faith. First, you got to be in faith. The biggest place that people get in trouble is when they start operating outside of faith. As long as you've got faith, you can go. You can. If you've got faith in God, you can be enduring a lot of problems. But if you've got enough faith in God, faith is something that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to be in church. That's why God set it up this way. He set up local assemblies and a ministry to feed and help His people grow from their birth in Christ up to a place of maturity, because He set it up so that they'd have a place to come and get the spiritual things that they need to develop in Christ. So finally you can walk in the Spirit. You can finally have a spiritual mind. You can finally have God enough in your life that you can't be shook. Wouldn't you like to get like Paul? Look at that scripture in Romans. Let's read it, because it, sometimes I just think it's good to look at, where he said he was persuaded that nothing could separate him from the love of God. I'm trying to find the beginning of it. Says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Yes. Tribulation has separated many a people. That's what I'm reading to you in Mark 4, that affliction or tribulation, I think Luke uses the word tribulation, that That'll separate you from the love of God if you don't have enough of God, if you're not connected deep enough in God. Trials and tribulation will separate you. Or distress. Can you get so distressed that you'll give up serving God? Yes. If you don't have enough connection, if you're not connected enough to Him, you'll get distressed. In your distresses, you'll give up. What about persecution? Well, you know there's people who gave up. What did Peter do? When he just saw he wasn't even persecuted yet. They said, was you with him? Oh, no. He said, I don't even know the guy. Said, I don't even know him. I did that one time. I backslid and went out to a beer joint with a guy, and we was in his car. And I borrowed the keys to his car. Or I don't remember how come I wound up with the keys. But anyway, we started to leave this place. I hate to even tell it because I'm ashamed of it. But when we walked out of there, he got into it with somebody, you know, just words, and a police officer went over there, and he smart-talked this police officer. And this officer decided to arrest him. And he called my name. He said, hey, he said, come here. Said, Smith, come on, let's whoop him. Said, he, but one of them, two of us. Said, let's whoop him. And that guy said, are you with this guy? I said, I don't even know him. I said, I ain't never seen that guy. He's drunk. You better haul him in. I just walked over and got in the guy's car and started it up, drove off. They arrested him, too. Ain't that terrible for me to tell that. But anyway, I'm just letting you know, I ain't always been saved. I was just a kid now, just many, many moons ago. Well, Peter, that's what Peter said. I don't know him. I don't know that guy. And he hadn't even suffered any persecution, but he was weak. And he knew that that persecution was going to come if he admitted it. So Jesus told him later, said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. I was thinking about this song tonight. He gives me strength. He gives me power. Hope in the darkest hour. You've got to be connected to God, though. And He has to strengthen you for that connection to keep getting stronger and stronger. And God has to help you to have strength and power. It doesn't just come automatic the minute you get saved. There's a transformation takes place, and it's difficult sometimes. That's why I'm telling you that if you'll be if you'll be you really have to put forth an effort to make it. Some people are different than other people. Some people can serve God with less emotion help. But some people are termed different. I was termed different. I had to know that I knew Him. I couldn't just play church. I couldn't just get in I had to get in or get out. I couldn't walk around. I couldn't put one foot in church and the other foot out. Because every time I came through those doors back there, I had to get saved. Because the conviction that God put on me was too strong. And I knew before I went, I'm going to die tonight. When I was out there, but I didn't have all y'all have. One of my problems was I didn't know that I could just fall and get up and go again. I just knew that if I was either going to heaven or hell, Brother Tally, and I thought, how am I going to do this? You know, my chances are not very good because I'm in hell about 2/3 of the time, or maybe 90%. And about 10% of the time, I start off in the day good, is what I thought. but I don't get too far before I'm in trouble. The flesh and other things happen to me, gets me in trouble. And I didn't know that I could just repent and say, God, help me get up and I'm going to go again. I'm going to make it. But see, I'd give up on faith. I didn't have enough of the Word of God in me or the truth of the Word of God to help me make it. Finally, you know, my wife and I, we stayed in church, but I had so much trouble. Even when God had to call me to preach, He knew it was the only way I'd get saved. I really struggled. I'm telling you, I did. And I wasn't a bad sinner. I wasn't a criminal or nothing like that. But I just had a hard time really getting connected. Maybe you've heard me tell how it was after I found the body. I've been serving God for many, many years. But you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. You know how connected you are and how not connected you are. And I remember after I found the body of Christ that I was driving down the road. You know, I told the story about my dad had a beef killed, and I had bought half of it, and he bought the other half. And I had to drive about 4 hours to go get it because it was ready, and he didn't have enough room in his freezer, and, you know, and so I had to go get it. And I was driving by myself, and I said, well, if it's off, it's not because it's not the switch is on. The battery's dead. So, maybe I put it in wrong. Yeah, this battery's dead. I got to driving down the road, and I was praying. I got to singing that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. And the longer I sang it, the more blessed I got. And it dawned on me on that trip that something had happened to me on the inside. And I was going through the hardest trial of my life right then. Most difficult time in my life that I had ever went through so far. There we go. Is it on now? It came to my mind. I thought, it's never even dawned on me to leave God or leave the church. Of course, I was pastoring, but let me tell you something. Some pastors backslide. Young pastors, anyway, for sure. Some old pastors do. But I knew something had happened to my life that had connected. I was connected to God in such a way that I thought, I've really got a hold of something. And the next thing says famine. Will famine separate you from the love of God? Our nakedness, if you get real poor and you're in real need, our peril, our sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Of course, Paul, this is being written during a time when persecution was heavy. But he said, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He had come to a place in God that he realized that if I stick it out with him, he'll make up the difference for me. He'll help me make it through. For he said, I'm persuaded Something has to happen to you for you to be persuaded. For God finally to have you persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities. There were ministers, angels back there that were fallen angels. They were false teachers, false prophets. Paul ran into that, especially in the church in Galatia. They pulled some of those people that he had them planted and connected to Christ. They weren't deeply rooted yet, but he had them connected, and they were moved. He said, "Why are you so soon moved from the gospel of Christ?" And principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. He got to a place where he said, "There ain't nothing going on right now that's going to turn me away from God, and there ain't nothing that's coming in the future." He was persuaded that there, I know what God's going to do, I know what we're going to go through, and I know that if I'll hold on to Jesus, I'm conquerors. He said, "I'm more than a conqueror through Him. And if I'll stay in Him, connected to Him, I'll make it through." Even Jesus had this going on in His life. You know, He said, He even asked the Lord, "Why hast thou forsaken me? If this cup could pass from me." He didn't want to go through with it. There was something in Him that was still wanting to bail out. But he was so connected to God, he couldn't bail out. That's how connected I want to be. That my flesh may be squirming, and it may be trying to run, but there'd be so much that God's put in me. He put so much stickum in me to stay close to Him that I'd stick it out no matter what the price. Nor height, nor depth. Can you get blessed? Let me tell you something I've thought about quite a bit. Do you ever feel like that you're serving God because, you know, because He makes you? You ever feel that way? Like, God, you know, I know better than to run, because God whipped me, I'll be right back where I started from. Well, it's really the truth. I mean, God will turn you loose, but He'll never leave you. You can run from God, you can make your bed in hell, but one day you'll look up out of hell and there God will be. And it's really the truth. He loves you so much, He won't leave you alone. He wants to save you. But I've thought away from that, the other end of the spectrum, that I would love to serve Him. I'd love for God to be able to bless me with whatever He wanted to bless me, put whatever He wanted to put in my hands, and it wouldn't affect me. You know, we got to have that in us. If you're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, you got to get something in your life that God could give you anything He wanted to give you, and it wouldn't affect you. He could give you $1 million, and you wouldn't be foolish with it. In fact, He could give you $1 million and say, "I want you to give every bit of it," and you'd obey. He could bless you, and then He could tell you, "Look, I want you to go somewhere and give that up. You know, that's just temporal anyway. I've got something else for you to do." Whew! I can tell you, I've experienced just a little bit of that. Because going to the Dominican Republic, I mean, I've came right down to the wire of knowing God could tell me, "I want you to stay over here." I'm going to tell you something. The move of God and the Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Ghost in that work over there is so powerful that you live high. But I'm going to tell you something. The natural condition is not good. And I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even hardly know how to exist in it. God's really shook me down. You know, I feel like the Lord said, "Would you do anything I ask you to do? what about, would you do like Paul? Would you go to prison? Would you sit in a cold, wet, humid dungeon and write letters to churches? Don't you know there was people said that sorry devil belonged in a jail? Probably people in the body lost confidence in him. Because he's in jail. Said, you know, if he's really the man of God everybody says he is, God get him out of there. Don't you know he suffered more than we know? Don't you know he suffered all of that reproach of being in a prison? We have a man, and I sat on a case of a man that was accused, went to court and convicted, a pastor in this body. And he said, I didn't do it. I didn't do this. And I sat on his case, and men that judged that case said, well, there's smoke, there's normally fire. Now, they didn't want to touch that case because, you know, what if he's guilty? It's a bad case. But did you know the girl that accused him came forward about 4 or 5 years after he was in the pen and said, I lied. He didn't do that. And they turned him loose. And he's back pastoring a church, his church, same church he had today. But he suffered. I always thought myself, I thought, I can't judge him because I don't know the facts. I can't judge the case. All we can do is help his church and hope he's innocent. But anyway, you know, God, but what if God put you in a place like that? Because he wanted you, because he had a purpose in it. But you know, God had to have a purpose in Paul going to jail. But you know, God sent an angel to get Peter and John out. You know, I mean, the earth quaked and the jailers all hid themselves in the gate. The angel came, just opened the gate for them. They just walked out. And here the Apostle Paul is down in a dungeon. Ain't been no angel coming around. Whew. You know, Paul knew all that. He had to know God is in this. God is putting, he's got me here for a purpose. But you know, he had to know enough about God. And he's the guy that said, there ain't nothing that can separate me from God. When he wrote this, he wasn't in jail. But when he said, things present are things to come. Don't you know he probably thought about that little things to come when he was sitting there in jail. Said, bring me them parchments. I don't study up on this some more. If you can get to me, just go ahead and bring me a coat. Because it's cold down here. Oh, God. Well, I know I'm not, you know, I'm not preaching a popular thing tonight, am I? But let me just tell you, most of you aren't going to spend any days in the dungeon. You know, we're living in a good time to serve him. But I'd like to serve him, and I'd like to serve him in the good times without God having to put so much pressure on me. Say, son, you know, why do I have to chase you around and the flesh got so much on you that you can't serve me when it's good times? I've been convicted about that before. I thought, God, I'd like to be blessed, because part of that parable of the sower is not the stony ground, but then the thorny ground. Brother Leninger said that's the blessings of God, thorny ground. when you get all the rocks out of your ground. And if you don't believe that, you just go out here and buy you a piece of property and go to plowing it. And you watch how fast the weeds and the thorns begin to grow up in it. I guarantee you, just plow your little garden. If you don't believe it, you'll be out there hoeing weeds in just a little while. You may plant your little corn, they're about every 6 inches, but there's going to be weeds grow between them 6 inches so thick that you won't have no corn if you don't do something about it. That you get that out of your life, but when God starts blessing you, and some people make it through this phase of, I've went through trials and tribulations and I've stuck it out with God, now God's blessing me, and I can't handle the blessing. God has, sometimes he has to knock you back down and say, well, start all over, get back in the thorny ground. Let me show you there's some more ground in you need to work on. But that place of faith, if you'll keep believing, God, I can make it. I can. With your help, just like Paul said, that's what he learned right there in the 37th verse. I'm more than a conqueror through him. If I'll keep my faith in Christ and I'll keep believing that I can make it, I can do this. And here's the thing, you only have to do it today. Forget about tomorrow. Just serve God today. That's how Brother Doug York, when he quit smoking cigarettes, he said, I ain't quitting from now on. I'm just quitting for an hour. Then he got up to half a day. He said, I ain't quitting all day today. I'm just going to quit till noon. That's all. I'm quitting till noon. I know a guy carried a pair of Lucky Strikes in his pocket for 15 years. Never did open them. He said, I ain't quit smoking. I got them right here. Smoke one anytime I want to, but I'm not going to smoke any right now. I don't have to right now. He finally got them put up in a windowsill for another about 10 years. He just couldn't throw them away. He was afraid, you know. Brother Doug finally got to where he said, I'm not going to smoke today. I know I can make it one day. That's how to do it. Sneak up on the devil. That's Brother Patton used to say. He said, that's how to fast. Just tell the devil, I ain't going to eat breakfast. Don't tell him you ain't going to eat lunch. Just say, I ain't going to eat no breakfast, but I'll feed you good lunchtime, boy. Then when it gets lunchtime, say, you know, I think you could make it to dinner. Say, I think I'll just go ahead. We can make it to dinner. It ain't that big a deal for you. He said, get him on down to dinner and say, I'm going to put you to bed here in a little while. He said, you can make it tomorrow and you won't even know. You'll be asleep. Said, this trick the devil. He don't know. You can help him out. You go tell him you're going to fast for 4 days and four nights or 7 days. You fixing to have trouble. Yeah, you won't make it till lunchtime. That devil, he'll have all his imps and all them guys after you. Yeah, you'll be hearing more than one voice. Slobbering at the mouth. But if you just you got to learn how to handle him. Yeah. I told you I wasn't going to let you smoke yesterday. I'm not going to smoke this morning. Maybe later today. If you just take it little, just right now, I'm serving God right now. I'm going to keep serving him if he'll help me. And I believe he will. You got to have faith. Just serve him today. And some of us that have been serving him a long time, that's working on this perfection deal, just try to keep from sinning today. Just try to do God's will today. Walk in the Spirit today. Focus. Keep your mind on Jesus today. Get up and look in the mirror and say, Lord, what could I do for you today? How could I serve you? You know, is there someone that you would let me love? Let me get your love to? Is there something you want to talk to me about? You know, talk to him. Pray. Pray for someone else. If you get started talking to him, you'll think of a lot more. He'll help you think of a lot more. Height or depth, you can get down low enough, that you'll give up serving God. You can get up high enough, you'll quit serving. You'll get to where you don't need him. I've seen preachers do that. They built big enough congregation, they didn't need the body anymore. They don't need the body. I got more people in my church than what most of y'all have in a general meeting. Why do I need to come to a general meeting? Yeah, you can get high. You can get high. You can get too high and mighty. That's what the Lord told Samuel. Not Samuel, but Solomon. Said when you were small in your own sight. Saul, yeah, I'm sorry. Who did I say? No, Saul. But he said, it's when you were little in your own eyes. But when you get too big, you can get too high, you can get too mighty. Wouldn't you like for God to be able to use you and you not get exalted? God had to give Paul a thorn in his flesh. You know he finally got that thing out, don't you? He finally said, I fought a good fight and I finished. Hallelujah. I finally got that thorn out of my flesh. I finally got to a place where I couldn't get exalted. He said, in one place he said, I know how to both be abased and abound. He knew something about abounding. I guarantee you did. He had hundreds of people trying to make a god out of him. Because he had power. It was one of the things I never said nothing about Don Patton. Because he was a great man of God. And I went in his church many times where there's 500 people there on Wednesday night. And they tried to make a god out of him. I even was guilty of that. You know, exalting him too high. Putting him up ahead of Jesus. You can do that with men. I think you can lift men up too high, but I sure think you can put them too low too. I think you can not honor men of God like they ought to be honored, but I think you can also exalt men too high. But it doesn't matter what people try to do. We have to grow to a place that we can serve him. And you won't ever get exalted, no matter what. But I always said, no, I never had 500 people coming on Wednesday night that's trying to exalt me. And I never have been tested like that, so I can't judge that case. It's easy to talk about people. It's easy to run people down. But those of us that went through those things ought to have learned some sort of lesson out of it, that when and if God ever does take us through that, that we ought to do a better job of passing the test that those that gone before us did. You know, God may have put some of those tests in the body and tested some men, and he might have known they won't pass this test, but this body's got to go through this. That's why I know what God, he looks on the heart. That's why there's got to be a resurrection. God looks at things different than we do. I'm not making excuses for wrongdoing, but I'm just saying that I know God's a great God. And there's many facets in the work of God. Anyway, he said, no height, nor depth, nor other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, but if you'll stay faithful, if you'll stay full of faith, faithful, stay full of faith, keep believing, keep having faith, that I can do this. I can serve him. I can live for him. I can make it. All you got to do is today. If you start making too many statements about what you're going to do for God, you'll get in trouble. If you'll just serve him today, live for him today.